This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Here's the pitch. Trickled back to the mound. Urshag fields first base side. Runs to first. Underhand toss. Gurriel's there in time, and the ball game's over. The Royals shut out the Nationals for the second straight night and win a second straight game. Royals 3, Nationals nothing. And the Royals are that much closer to securing a postseason berth for the first time since 2015. Now 84-74, and a much needed win down the stretch. Only 4 games to go, and the Royals can just about taste it.
That is the call of Jake Eisenberg from the Royals game last night that you heard here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco, Dusty James with you on this lovely Thursday morning. Football action tonight against Bob's Giants. Well, your dad's Giants.
Yeah.
And
Leak.
I'm wondering when you're going to get that text.
Well, tonight's an interesting night because I'm hosting a Kansas City history trivia night at Kelly's in Westport tonight at 7 o'clock to benefit the Westport Historical Society or Hysterical Society. Oh. I've got a couple of spots open, so if you want to come, the Andy Reid football is going to be a prize given away. A Bill Self autographed basketball is going to be given away. So we got some fun stuff at Kelly's tonight. So I'm going to kind of keep like one eye out there on the screen of the what's going on, because I jokingly asked Ben Maller, does Leak save the job of Daniel Jones? He may end up saving Daniel Jones's career in that game tonight. So yeah, you got Thursday night football, you got afternoon baseball, you got the Twins playing tonight, you got weather going on, like the A's thing. It's a big day, man. It's a big day of sports.
That's right. And tonight, today the Royals will go for the series sweep. They will look forward to trying to completely take out the Washington Nationals and give that much closer to clinching their playoff spot. I'm interested to know, text line 913-586-7965, where your confidence is now. Because I know going into this series and losing 7 in a row, a lot of people were like, well, the season was fun. Other people were like, hey, this is what we asked for. Competitive baseball all the way into the football season. We're into week 3 of the football season. We still care about the Royals. Some people were like, hey, I'm not giving up. They're still a playoff team. I told you before, I'm not jumping off the ship. If you jumped off, I'm sorry. We ran out of life jackets. Too many people jumped off that I allowed to come back on. But the Royals have won 2 in a row, 2 big games, 2 shutout games. And I think that the irony, to use it correctly, is a bullpen that has been the headache and the back pains of the entire season has been absolutely lights out these last 2 games. And I don't want to hear it that the Nationals offense sucks. I don't want to hear it that they're done playing and done caring. All I care about is that this bullpen, who couldn't get anybody out, has looked great the last 2 games.
They've looked really good.
In the biggest time of the season.
Yeah, and even last night, Shriver or whatever, Maria's kid gets in a little bit of trouble last night and works his way out of that trouble. Tommy Pham, quietly good game defensively last night. He had some nice plays out there defensively, you know, for this ball club. But I really think you have to give the bullpen a big tip of the cap for last night, because Jared Lorenzen is going into that game and you're thinking to yourself, okay, we're finally back from the DL. And then, like, immediately he gets what they're calling lower body fatigue, which I think is a beautiful term, right? And he pulls himself out of the game. You could see, you know, Salvi waving the guys over to come out and check out this guy. So he takes himself out of the game very early. Mm-hmm. And then Lynch IV has to come in from the bullpen. And I think a lot of people still have the Lynch IV impression of, oh my God, this guy can't get the job done. Well, going into that game, if I'm not mistaken, he had about like 15 and a third scoreless innings that he's pitched for the Royals. And I thought he was really, really good last night. He did what the Royals needed last night out of that bullpen. And I think he's done a very good job to assure himself anyway a spot on this postseason roster. I think he's definitely earned a spot on this postseason roster. And I think him and Bubich are now two of, if not your two most reliable guys that come out of the bullpen. And I like that because those guys, along with Brady Singer, were taken in that draft class in like 18 or whatever it was, I think is the year that I go back to now, where you had Singer and Lynch and Bubich and Bolin and Kowar and all of these guys that were drafted. And really up until this year, everybody was saying, oh, it was a bust. It wasn't any good. You got to give Dayton Moore a lot of credit for drafting these guys, because without Singer, without Lynch, and without Bubich right now, where is this organization? I know Singer has had his ups and downs and whatnot for the better part of half a season, though Singer could have been looked at as your ace. Lynch is looking like a stud out in the bullpen. Chris Bubich has found his role out of the bullpen. Yeah, they didn't turn into number one starters, but the payoff rate in baseball is like you draft 10 pitchers, you hope three get up to the big leagues at some point. And the Royals have done just that. Singer, Lynch, and Bubich, credit to Dayton Moore and his staff for finding those guys, getting those guys in here, and now they're turning into players on this team. It takes a little bit longer in baseball. I know we all want immediate results, but think about where this bullpen is without Lynch and Bubich right now, man. They're pitching great.
Yeah, you look at the game today. It starts at 12:05. Michael Walker takes the slab. Vern takes the slab on 96.5 The Fan for his On Deck show at 11 o'clock. Short day for the bros at 10 to 2. Yeah. They go from 10 to 11. Must be nice on a Friday.
Yeah, it's Thursday, though.
Thursday. Yeah. Well, it feels like a Friday.
It does. See, I told you like Thursdays better than Fridays. That's right.
Yeah, I like Thursday. I love Thursdays in college.
Thursdays in college are the best.
That's right. But no, I think it's great that, you know, here we are. Magic number 3.
Mm-hmm.
You said Twins play tonight, Royals play this afternoon, Detroit, I don't know when they play. I didn't look at that schedule. But I would assume they probably have a day game.
Tampa at Detroit, 12:10.
Yeah, so they play they start 5 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if the Royals win and Detroit loses and Minnesota loses, you're looking really good
going into the
three games.
Yeah.
Because there is an issue going on with Atlanta because you have the hurricane moving through the lower East Coast.
Right.
And hopefully everybody stays safe with that. I've got some people trying to go to Cancun right now. I don't think they should.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Turn around and come back home because they've already lost 2 days basically on their trip.
How long is the trip?
They were supposed to come back Sunday.
Oh, and they've already forget about it. Cancel the trip.
They were supposed to get there yesterday morning.
Uh-huh.
Delayed. Then they flew to Orlando. Then they flew to Orlando after yesterday afternoon. They said they still don't know if there's any confirmation they're going to be able to fly to Cancun.
So they're stuck in Orlando?
So even if they go to Cancun, you got to think that place is going to be basically shut down. I mean, that hurricane went like right through there.
Yeah.
So I said, you got to call your travel agent.
Why would you go get stuck in Orlando, though? I mean, like, change the trip, man, at that point in time. But anyway,
And last night was it was Garrett Hampson and Michael Massey that knocked in the runs, right? And, you know, that's what this team is going to be. They're going to survive by their pitching, their defense, their speed, and, you know, they're not that team that's going to go into the playoffs and somebody's going to step up once every three innings and hit a three-run jack. That ain't the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
But what the Royals can do is they can silent bats, and they've done that in Washington, even though Washington's offense is atrocious. Look, the Royals' offense ain't great. They've still been able to score 4 runs in 2 games. I know that's not a lot. That's 4 more than the Nationals because the pitching for the Royals has been amazing, right? Daniel Lynch gets called in out of nowhere. Lorenzen's got to go out after two-thirds of an inning, and Lynch is great. And Esig in the ninth is perfectly fine. And when you look at this Royals team, we talk about this before, and we've seen this in the past. I think it was 2000 and maybe like 9 or 11. The Colorado Rockies went on a hot heater run into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I think it was 2011.
They went all the way. And not all the way, but they went on a non-losing streak. Like, they just kept beating everybody.
Right. And they made it to the World Series that year, right?
They did?
Yeah, okay. I think they did. Yeah, I think they played the Red Sox, if I'm not mistaken.
Because I thought an 11-11 was the Cardinals.
I can't remember. Either way, it was 11 in the Cardinals. Whatever.
Anyways, and so the Royals in 14, they win that wild card game, which now you'll play the best of 3. You won't play the best of 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just don't lose, and they use that momentum to go in. The Royals had a 7-game losing streak Monday night. They win Monday, going into Tuesday night. They win Tuesday, they win Wednesday. Now they play Thursday afternoon. The last time they had a 7-game losing streak, they ended up winning 5 of their next 6.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to get kicked in the teeth to come back, you know, smiling prettier.
Yeah.
Right? Or sometimes you got to get torn down to build yourself back up from a million pieces to build yourself even stronger. And I believe that if this team can continue this momentum with its pitching that it's had from its bullpen that has not been there all year into the playoffs, then you get to really get competitive, because if they also can clinch and get that magic number to zero, then you can sit Cole Reagans in that game Sunday. You don't have to worry about pitching him. He can start game one in that playoff game.
Yeah, and you know, Sunday may end up being a big game for positioning as well, whether you're the 5 seed or the 6 seed. And I think right now, even though Baltimore's won their last two against the Yankees, you still rather play Baltimore than you would against the Houston Astros. But, you know, at this point in time, you just want to get in and be part of the party. It's going to be interesting to me to see what happens with the rotation, if anything happens in Atlanta weather-wise. Like, if Friday gets washed out, I don't think Friday is going to get washed out. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to move through. It's supposed to stop raining, you know, sometime midday on Friday. So I think they're going to be able to play that game on Friday. But worst case scenario, it doesn't. And then you have to have games pushed back. And maybe you're playing a doubleheader on Saturday, or maybe you're playing. I think they probably want to keep the doubleheader off of Sunday, obviously, because the Braves already have a doubleheader on Monday to end the season against the Mets. So you'd probably play a doubleheader on Saturday if you can't get Friday's game in. Going to be interesting to see how they deal with the pitching situation, because you're only going to have that one day off on Monday, and then you open that, you know, series on Tuesday on the road, either in Baltimore or Houston. And I would think you want to find a way to set up Cole Reagans to go in that opener, right?
No doubt.
He gives you the best opportunity to win. And you take that first game in a 3-game series, you're at such an advantage over the other team. And so you would think you'd want Cole Reagans going in that first game on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, whenever that game is going to be played in either Houston or Baltimore. So I'm going to be real interested to see how the weather affects things, if there's a doubleheader potentially Saturday, and what Q does with the rotation, and seeing how much closer we are to clinching, where you can kind of play around with the rotation. And maybe they don't care if they play Houston or Baltimore. It doesn't matter. They want to get their pitchers ready for that postseason series. They may wave the white flag if this thing is wrapped up on Sunday.
And I tried to tell you. Go ahead and mark this, Mac. September 19th, 8:15 in the morning. Dusty Likens here. Guarantee you the Royals will play playoff baseball on October 1st. Tried to tell you. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the Athletics' own Nate Taylor at 8:25.
He plays for the A's?
That's right. Well, not anymore, he doesn't. Not in Oakland. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco. That's James. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, it's Dusty Likens at 96.5 The Fan. You know me. I like to be loud, open, and honest. That's what I want to have a conversation about right now, because it's one that merits that. Has erectile dysfunction caused a riff in your bedroom or relationship? Or you might be a little insecure, fellas. It's fine if you are. It's okay to admit it. I admit a lot of things. But if you're not sure what you want to do or how to inquire about it, let me help you. And worry no more, because you can go to my friends at Heartland Men's Health. They can help you. When the pills or the herbals fail, they have treatments with success rates well over 90%. Some treatments can even have you last an hour or more. Heartland Men's Health is successfully treating men in Kansas City. Schedule a consult with Heartland Men's Health today, and your initial visit is only $99 and includes a medical consult with a licensed medical provider and a T and PSA test. And if the test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. Feel free to go see my people at Heartland Men's Health. They have 3 locations that can serve you today. Overland Park, Kansas, Independence, Missouri, between Blue Springs and Lee Summit, and their new office in North Kansas City. Call them today at 844-447-6600 or visit heartlandmenshealth.com. We will get to Nate Taylor here in just about 5 minutes on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Welcome to your Thursday.
That's right, baby. Already Thursday. The week is flying by, man.
I think it's interesting that you brought this up, because you looked at me with like this concerned look on your face.
Okay.
And you were like, does it smell like bacon?
Well, if it smells like bacon, there's got to be bacon, right?
And I think it does. I even walked out to look around and see in the kitchen, because we do have a staff meeting today.
Right. Yes. 10:45 all staff meeting.
Can't wait.
Going to be wonderful.
And I was thinking, well, maybe somebody's already fired the bacon. I'm like, well, 2.5 hours away. There's no possible way. That's going to be terrible bacon.
Right.
And then I'm starting to think myself, and I promise you, I'm 1,000% sober, but I was thinking to myself, is bacon like the most distinct smell there is?
I think there's a couple of distinct smells. I think everybody knows the smell of gasoline.
Yeah.
Cut grass is a very distinct smell.
One of the best, too.
It really is. I like the smell of fresh asphalt.
I'm sorry?
I like the smell of fresh asphalt.
Oh. Okay. My mind went somewhere else.
Okay.
See, I'm kind of in the same page. I like the smell of like the before it rains.
Oh, see, I don't because I know the rain is coming.
Oh, man, yeah. I love that smell.
Yeah.
I think popcorn.
Popcorn's a great smell.
Like you could be
now burnt popcorn is completely a 180 from the smell of popcorn. You
like
know?
You could walk into a ballpark or an arena, and one of the first smells you will hit your nose is popcorn.
But the ballpark popcorn, it always smells better than it tastes.
Of course it does.
You know, the movie theater popcorn doesn't because you put all that greasy butter on top of it, and oh my God, it's so good. But like you walk into the ballpark and you smell that popcorn, and then you see it's in a big trash bag. Like, okay.
Someone says you can always tell when someone around you has ripped ass.
Well, yes, of course you can. I mean, yeah.
Somebody says never smoked it. That's a lie. But the smell of weed.
Very distinct.
Like,
yeah.
You can, like, now that it's legal in Missouri.
Right.
Like, this actually happened last night. Went out to dinner, had the windows down, beautiful, like, 68-degree weather, and we went through this neighborhood, and all of a sudden, like, ooh,
yeah.
Someone's on the back porch.
Like, it's immediately when you cross state line and get into Missouri, yeah. You can smell it right away.
Yeah,
it,
you
it,
go
it,
from smug to, yeah, you right, know, yeah. Gunge.
You go from gambling to weed. You can smell the tears on one side and the weed on the other at times, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, the Arrowhead parking lot now smells more like weed than it does right. Barbecue, right?
Yeah.
It just does. And even inside the stadium, Josh used to do a bit, you know, when he was on the sidelines, and he would say, the moment he smelled the first hit of weed, at what point of the game that was,
right.
You know, sometimes it was early in a game. Sometimes it was late in a game. Sometimes it never left. And so, you know, there's always, that is a very, very distinct smell.
Oh,
it smells
yeah.
like a skunk.
I yeah. had some Richards the other night, and again, I don't mind, you know, partaking in all that. At the Royals game, they were hitting one of those Penn Griffey Juniors.
Oh, yeah.
And there was like a six-year-old behind them, and it was just blowing right in her
oh,
face.
Oh, that's, come on.
And
now.
I was like,
yeah.
that's kind of an asshat move.
It really is,
I was
yeah.
like, go up
there
to the
There is
smoking
a smoking section out
and
there for
I mean,
you.
Look, I'm not here to like, you know, ruin it for people and say, oh, you know, I'm getting older. But look, you do all the partaking of that you want.
Right.
Look around you for a little bit, mm-hmm. right?
Like, have some sympathy for people around
and
you.
And in a
yeah.
row with us was literally a family with two infant children.
Yeah, come on now.
Not infant. They were like probably 3 and 4.
Right.
And I mean, that stuff was drifting because even I got a hit of it. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
It's like, is the Dippin' Dots thing still open?
Correct.
Somebody says the vinegar is a distinct
yeah,
smell.
That, yeah, I'm out on that too. Yeah, that's not a smell I like.
Garlic, coffee.
Coffee is really good.
I think my top three favorites.
I love smelling the old Folgers plant downtown back in the day. When you go down there at night and that wind was blowing the right way and you'd smell that fresh roasted coffee, that was a really good smell.
Yeah, this is my favorite smell right here. When you can tell someone has officially lit their charcoal grill.
Yeah.
And that's from the A16
yes.
here. Like, that
yes.
is, to me, my favorite smell.
Ah, yes. Because, you can smell it. Yeah.
And then I also love when I light mine and I see that smoke take its direction. I'm like, all right, neighborhood.
Yeah.
Guess what I'm cooking tonight?
Yeah, that is a good smell, too.
I mean,
that's a really good one right
man,
there. The initial lighting of the charcoal grill. Yeah.
That fresh mowed grass. And
bacon.
And bacon.
I felt like that dog in that Bacon Strips commercial.
Yeah.
You know, like, bacon, bacon.
Well, it's time to get to Nate Taylor's favorite smells.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Ayo, Bo knows this.
What?
And Bo knows that.
What?
But Bo don't know jack. Cause Bo can't rap. Well, what do you know?
He knows everything that Bo doesn't know.
There's so much in my head.
And just like the tribe, he breaks down all the Chiefs scenarios.
This is such a great question, Josh, because I haven't been able to watch a single ounce of tape about the Lions.
He's our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, the one and only Nate Taylor.
That's right. We threw it back on a Thursday because why not? Nate Taylor from The Athletic joins us. He is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. Nate Taylor joins us here. Nate, I got a question for you. What's your favorite smell?
My favorite smell. Okay, wow.
Be appropriate.
Let's keep it in the food category. I have, you know, traditions. One of them is, you know, I go to the old Gates the opening week of the NFL season, and I just love the way Gates smells. It's incredible. Best sauce in the world. So let's go with Gates. That's the first thing that sort of comes to mind, which reminds me I should probably visit them sooner rather than later.
All right, people think Travis Kelce smells this year. Where are you on this, like, ridiculous Todd McShay's calling him fat, everybody's saying he spent too much time with Taylor Swift, all of this nonsense? Because that's where I think it is. I think it's all nonsense. We can get into it, but I want to get your opinion just on this whole Travis Kelce saga that has developed this week?
Yeah, no, it's pretty, I mean, fascinating, honestly, because I have to remind myself, right, that we're only three games into a 17-game season. And, of course, when you include the playoffs, we might be, you know, in the 20 to 21 game range, like last year, obviously. So it is a bit odd that people have sort of jumped to conclusions. I even wrote a column today in The Athletic sort of exposing a lot of the nonsense, a lot of the knee-jerk reactions to the idea that Travis Kelce is somehow washed, even though he has not missed a practice this season. He did not miss a practice during training camp, of course. He's honestly one of the most durable players at his position ever in NFL history. And I think the thing that, you know, for a lot of analysts that are struggling with this is, hey, they've actually started giving more responsibility. And this is understandable to a large degree. They've actually given more responsibility to Rashee Rice, right? They're actually using Travis Kelce as a decoy. I think it really comes down to two factors. It comes down to play calling, where the Chiefs, for some reason, are just not using Travis Kelce in the red zone. And then secondly, you know, you need the quarterback to deliver the football to you on time, make, you know, good decisions, and see what you're seeing on the field when you're running routes against zone coverages like last Sunday's game against the Atlanta Falcons. It may surprise people, but Travis Kelce's getting open, and he's also not being triple-teamed like, you know, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are saying. That's not true. There are the occasional double teams, but I think most teams just realize, hey, the Chiefs are throwing the ball near the line of scrimmage to Rashee Rice because he's the best player, you could argue, at yards after the catch. So the sooner you get him the ball, the more he's going to get you those extra 5-6 yards on any route, honestly, or any screen play. And so it's unfortunate that Travis Kelce runs a great corner route against Jesse Bates against the Falcons, and the ball is just not there. It's also weird, too, that and I actually wrote about this as well, fellas, Patrick Mahomes kind of needs to get out of his own head and just get back to being who he naturally is, which is a creative quarterback, someone who is willing to extend plays, get out of the pocket, create highlights that are more ad-lib than the average quarterback.
Yeah.
He's done that less this season than I think we're all sort of accustomed to. But anytime he does do that, the person who is benefiting the most is Travis Kelce. So when you don't have your quarterback creating sort of opportunities for you and the coaching staff is not really calling plays for you because it's September, then yeah, the production is lower than we all expect.
Now, see, now you're using facts, Nate. Why are you doing that? Because now everybody's head's exploding on national TV that wants to use this low-hanging fruit narrative that Travis Kelce spent too much time on Taylor Swift's jet going to concerts this offseason. When you use those facts, and God forbid you ever question Patrick Mahomes, but I'm kind of with you. Like, it hasn't been a great three games for him.
No, it really hasn't. And again, there's some interceptions that have just immediately killed drives. There have been, you know, the occasional fumble from, you know, someone like Carson Steele. And they've settled for more field goals than I think they probably should, right?
44% conversion rate at touchdowns inside the 20. That's way too low.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So, look, there's a number of things going on. I also just wanted to remind people, Travis Kelce.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Is a supreme athlete who is going to be 35 next week, but the guy has been pretty dedicated about keeping his body in check, even despite all the things he did this offseason, which any normal human being would have done the same thing.
Right, exactly.
I try to remind myself that, like, hey, you know, if your significant other is in Europe performing in front of millions of people, you should probably be there to, like, see it, to, like, hang out. Like, if you have the opportunity to start looking at the second, the second real phase of your life, right? As a athlete, as an adult. Hey, if someone's giving me the opportunity to learn how to act, to be in a, like, television show, like, most people are going to say, sure, like, why not? They pay you to do this. Like, hey, I can host my own podcast. I can do all these sort of things. Obviously, he's got a life that is going to only continue to grow based on his popularity, considering his gregarious personality. But, I mean, the thing that I think puzzled me most about Todd McShay is, hey, man, do you not know how aging works? And also, like, you would literally do the same thing. Like, come on. Like, stop pretending that you wouldn't have the same summer as Travis Kelce if you were capable of having the same summer. So, to assume that he's out of shape, even though he's, like, playing 85% of the Chiefs snaps this season, is kind of just, like, it's just nonsense. Yeah. And it mostly puzzles me because it's like, you know, Todd McShay deserves a lot of respect for the work that he does do that is correct, that is based on, like, film and study and, like, obviously talking to people within the league. But it's like, hey, man, like, sometimes you just don't get the ball. And for whatever reason, for the first time in really his career, this weird occurrence has happened in a 3-game stretch that we've never seen before. And sometimes you just have to, like, go back to watching the film and being like, oh, yeah, all of this is strange. But there's plenty of answers beyond he's out of shape, which is insane.
And they're 3-0, and they beat three really good teams. Two that people thought would contend for the AFC Championship before the season started in Baltimore and Cincinnati, and an Atlanta team that everybody thought would compete for an NFC Championship. And they're 3-0, and if you take one field goal away from the Chiefs and turn that into a touchdown, they blow those three teams out.
Yes. And I think for people who are open to the idea of criticizing the coaching staff more than the players to some degree, if we want to remove Patrick from this, is, hey, they've done nonsense, guys. They've done literally the silliest bleep in the red zone this season. I just want to remind people that, hey, it's cool when you throw the ball to Wanye Morris and it works out, but that's not a real play. You're not running that in December. So they've gotten away with it, right? They could be a more dominant team. They could be more similar to the Buffalo Bills, yet they get in the red zone and, like, here comes another tricky formation. Here comes Patrick Mahomes motioning out of the backfield. Like, they are getting away with it because their defense is very, very good. But also, I think the coaching staff understands that this is a long season. And so it's fair to criticize them for, like, hey, you're not giving us the best play calls possible. But also, I do realize that, like, you're going to play a lot more important games later on in the season, and there's got to be a balance to it. But hey, if you're not appreciating, if you don't like what the Chiefs are doing once they get on the plus side of the field, it's mostly due to, like, the play calling and then the occasional poor decision from Patrick Mahomes. So they've gotten away with it. They're 3-0. They're doing as well as you could like for any team in the league, considering how hard it is to be 3-0 with the amount of parity in the league. But also, it's understandable to know that they could absolutely play better on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that largely this time around goes to the coaching staff to some degree, and a portion of it has to go to Mahomes and the fact that his mechanics are starting to, you know, not be as polished as they used to be. And he's just not being creative. He's just not coloring outside the lines, even when the play call may not be at its absolute best, considering that the coaching staff is running silly plays in September.
Speaking of parity in the NFL, as we're talking to Nate Taylor of The Athletic here on Fesco and Dusty. Nate, yesterday, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes were not the most anticipated people to see speak at the podium. It was Kareem Hunt. Coming from a guy who follows his team from, 365, just be honest, what are Nate Taylor's expectations of Kareem Hunt in this offense going into week four against LA on the road?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I honestly can't believe that, you know, the last time, and I just want to remind people, the last time Kareem Hunt played a football game wearing a Kansas City Chiefs jersey was in Los Angeles against that incredible, you know, LA Rams team on that unbelievable Monday night game in 2018. He's not on the team, like, literally, like, the next week. It's crazy, you know, based on how everything ended and how swift it was. For Sunday's game against a Chargers team that is a little bit decimated, no Derwin James, we possibly might not see Joey Bosa. I just want to see Kareem Hunt be a capable running back, someone who can get 3 to 4 yards a touch, someone that can spell some of the burden and the pressure on Carson Steele, right? I mean, it's a lot to ask an undrafted rookie to play the majority of the snaps in an NFL game in just his third NFL game. So, hey, give Kareem Hunt the ball in the screen game. Let's sort of see, can he run outside zone, make that one cut, get upfield, maybe make a defender miss or run him over. I think he's going to be playing with a lot of emotion. And for someone who is also closer to the end of their career than the beginning, what I heard yesterday from Kareem was not only a reflective person, but someone who understands this is a golden opportunity that should have never arrived. Mm-hmm. The fact that the Chiefs, in a bit of a desperation, based on the timing of Isaiah Pacheco's injury, called him, and he is going to play an NFL game for them again within a matter of 10 days, is truly astonishing. So if he gives you anything, you kind of have to treat it as a bonus because this was not the expectation when the season began. But I also know, too, that like if you're ever going to get an inspired Kareem Hunt, now is the time, considering he wants to, you know, redeem himself as much as he can. He's kind of done the best job he possibly can off the field to make wiser decisions, to be around you know, people that are, you know, more in his best interest, as he mentioned yesterday. Hey, maybe you're not someone who's trying to party and drink alcohol as much as you used to when you're younger. I mean, as we can all attest, it gets harder the next day.
Oh, yes. So,
yes, it does.
Sometimes so it takes till Tuesday after a Saturday, Nate.
Yeah, believe me. So we all understand as you get older, yeah, you should get wiser. But man, I'm just interested to see how much he can inspire his teammates and how much putting that uniform on again Sunday inspires him to give the best, most disciplined, most diligent version of who he is right now. He's not going to be the guy that was amazing in 2018, 2017. But he's definitely someone who can give you good snaps, on occasion, if everything goes right and his body holds up.
What about Wanya Morris? We good at left tackle after that performance on Sunday?
I think so. Now, there's a lot more tests down the road, fellas. But as surprised as I was that Wanya was indeed the starting left tackle, he did a fine job. So let's see if he can have consistency, right? Let's see if he can do it again. You know, one of the funnest things I love about sports is, okay, that was a really good performance, whether that was surprising or not, but you got to back it up. You got to do it the next week or the next game, whenever that is. So he'll get the opportunity, of course. Andy Reid basically, you know, put that to bed on Monday. And he won't face that. Again, even if Joey Bosa's on the field, he's not going to be 100%, right? So we understand that. They may flip the field a couple times with Khalil Mack just to test Wanya Morris. But I think something for Patrick Mahomes to consider is once he rewatches the game, maybe multiple times against the Falcons, he realizes he had more clean pockets than he did the week before against Trey Henderson and the Cincinnati Bengals. So get your footwork correct. Trust Wanya Morris, because that's ultimately what you have to do with your left tackle, regardless of who it is, when you're trying to throw the football downfield. And, yeah, let's see if you can do it a second time, Wanya, and build some consistency, because everybody else on the offensive line I think is playing pretty well, and that includes Jawan Taylor, who struggled at this time last year. He's actually one of the better right tackles in the league. So the only question mark is, can Wanya Morris keep this up, and can he keep the rookie on the sideline for now until, you know, at least the midway point of the season, and then you can kind of reassess the position at that time.
Nate Taylor, I hope you enjoy the game this Sunday, and how dare you have gone to Wimbledon this year with the love of your life and drink alcohol, and now you're rider fat. Now you just, how dare you? Your work's slipping, you know?
How dare you enjoy your vacation time?
Yeah, man.
Right, come right. on. It's insane.
I'm gonna start coming after you, be like, you know, his words are a little off. You spent too much time with his wife in the offseason drinking at Wimbledon, camping out.
Yeah. You know what we got to do? We got to find out what Todd McShay's doing for vacation and start reporting right, on that, right? Right?
Yeah. As long as I keep my fingers in shape, I think I'll be good.
You'll be good.
But yeah, man, drinking Pims and watching, being at Wimbledon, it does. I'm slowing down. There's nothing I can do about it.
Hey, keep living your best life, Nate. We enjoy it every time when you're on. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
Take care.
It's crazy with athletes how we don't think they're allowed to go on vacation and enjoy the off season. Can't do it. Not allowed to do it. Better be in your playbook. That's a Neanderthal take, man.
One time Mahomes was on a horseback in the ocean and people freaked out. I remember that for sure.
God.
That was Nate Taylor presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. That was Nate Taylor, the Athletic. We come back. True or false? Literally, true or false, between these two quarterbacks, one plays tonight. James, Bob, Dusty, this is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, my friends over at Manning Roofing do an unbelievable job, and I know from firsthand experience because we needed a new roof 2 years ago. So I called Manning Roofing because my friend Jimmy works at Manning Roofing, and I'm like, hey, Jimmy, man, we just got hit by that storm. Can you come out and see what's wrong with our roof? And they did. They came out immediately and gave us the storm damage assessment, and I knew right then and there, we're going with Manning Roofing. These guys are buttoned up and awesome. The number one thing that I love about Manning Roofing is that they're a true general contractor, and not every roofer is a true general contractor, and chances are when you need a new roof, you're probably going to need new gutters, maybe some new windows, new siding, all of that stuff. You know what happens when the storm damages your house? A lot of things go wrong. So why not just call Manning Roofing and make it a one-stop shop? Plus, with Manning, they're Pella Preferred and Anderson Certified. I don't think there's anybody else in the country that is both Pella Preferred and Anderson Certified when it comes to roofs. So they'll knock it out of the ballpark for you. I promise you, they'll put a great roof on your house and do unbelievable work, and you'll be thanking your lucky stars that you called Manning Roofing, and they've done thousands of jobs here in Kansas City and never have once been rejected by an insurance company. So you know they're going to take care of you, the customer, first and foremost. Set up your free consultation like we did at manninggc.com or give them a call, 816-448-8208. That's manninggc.com. Manning is my one-stop shop for roofs, gutters, siding, and windows. The choice is simple. Manning Roofing.
These shows kind of groove along with these funky white guys here, James, Bob, and myself, Dusty Likens. Nate Taylor brought it up last time Kareem Hunt played a game for the Kansas City Chiefs. It was September 9th, 2018. The Chiefs would win 38-28. Mahomes would be 15-27, 256 yards and 4 touchdowns. Kareem Hunt would have 16 carries for 49 yards. And Tyreek Hill, oh boy, how good it was. 7 for 169 and 2 touchdowns.
Jeez, who was that against? The Chargers?
That's right.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers was 34 of 51.
Back before Todd McShay thought Travis was fat.
This is that Mahomes, man. This is that season. That 2018 season where he just went nuts.
And that's the worst thing that ever happened to Patrick Mahomes because everybody judges everything now based on 2018. What year are we in?
2024.
How long ago was that? 6 years ago, right? Think about where you were in life 6 years ago, right? Were you the same type of athlete that you were? The same type of player
than Travis Kelce?
You were, yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Like a lot has changed in those 6 years. Defenses have got better. Nobody's willing to acknowledge that either. Like defenses this year, if you're watching this league and you're really paying attention to what's going on in this league, you'll understand, man, defenses are just really good now. They have finally gotten up to that level of offenses. You're not seeing a lot of blowouts. You're not seeing a lot of 30-point ball games anymore in the NFL. So there's a lot of factors that factor in, but we all want to believe that it's 2018 and Patrick Mahomes is going to go for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards every season, and that's just not the case anymore. It's just not, it's that style of football that we're in right now.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, 7 for 169, 2 touchdowns. Your second leading receiver was
Travis Kelce.
Anthony Sherman, 1 catch for 36 yards. Kelce actually had 1 catch for 6 yards in that game.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Wow. What was wrong with him then?
too skinny. Because
that was before he got fat, Todd, and before Taylor came into the picture. So what was the excuse back then?
Well, that was back when the Chargers just knew how to shut down Trav.
That's right. That's
Or I'm trying to think. Was that the Andy Reid gave him the first half off because he was out past curfew, or is that the previous year?
I thought that was the previous year.
That was before Mahomes?
Yeah, that was previous. And once Mahomes came in, you didn't really see much. The last real incident that Travis Kelce had, I believe, in my mind anyway, I think it was either 16 or 17 against the Eagles when he did the fly Eagles fly thing here at Arrowhead Stadium, and Andy's like, all right, enough. I've had enough of this. You got to turn around your attitude and figure things out. And he did, and he's taken off to be the best tight end until he got, you know, Todd McFatt.
Find this interesting because there was a tweet from FanDuel, and it said, true or false? And I have to tell you this, the comments are unanimous, but it said, true or false, Sam Darnold is better than Dak Prescott. Everyone defended Dak Prescott.
Wow, that's insane, right? Like
they said, don't be disrespectful. Come on, this is simply ridiculous. The one it should be is Darnold is better than Andy Dalton. And then somebody said false. Somebody sent crying emojis. False as F is the last comment that I've seen that I don't need to read anymore to let you know that they have said it's all give Dak a little bit more respect.
Give Dak the respect. I can't give Dak the respect because to me, and this is the league in which we live right now. This is not my rule. This is not what I've done, how I decided. I'm just following the marching orders here. We judge quarterbacks based on their postseason success. And so I would lean towards Sam Darnold in this because I don't know what Sam Darnold's going to do in the playoffs, right? I have no idea what he's going to do. But I know Dak's going to fail in the playoffs. And so why would I take a quarterback that I know isn't a big game quarterback versus an unknown quarterback in Sam Darnold? Sam Darnold may have found it, and we got to give Mac some credit. He's been on the Sam Darnold thing for a while right now, right? And so I look at the way that he's playing. He's got a good coach. He's got great weapons around him. He's not making mistakes. He's being a good leader. He came in, everybody thinking J.J. McCarthy was going to be the guy. He obviously got hurt, and Sam Darnold has taken advantage of this opportunity. And I like the way that he's playing right now. I think Sam Darnold is going to have himself a really good entire season. I know we're only three games in. I'm going to lean towards Darnold for argument's sake on this one because, again, the unknown for me in this situation, his playoff performance, is better than the known for Dak Prescott, and that's a guy who falls on his face every year in the postseason.
Sam Darnold leads the NFL in touchdowns thrown with 8. Dak Prescott leads the NFL in passing yards with 851.
That's nice, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, look, I think I would take Dak for sure. I think Darnold's had a good 3 weeks, but as we all know, video will surface quickly. And it may not happen yet, but Darnold is right. You know, I think he's at like 257 yards passing, somewhere around, or not 200, but 657 yards passing. But look, he's done exceptional work.
Yeah.
He has been given up on by the Jets, by the Panthers. Minnesota brought him in as a backup quarterback. He expected his role to be, you know, maybe the starter for a while, and then all of a sudden it was JJ's team.
Right.
And he's been pretty damn good for Minnesota.
Yeah, he's been really good, man. Like, much better than I ever thought Sam Darnold would be. And so when you start to factor in what are your expectations, what were your expectations for Sam Darnold? Play a couple of games and then turn it over to J.J. McCarthy, right?
Give him a chance to be a wild card team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I thought that division was going to be pretty cloudy with Detroit and Green Bay, Chicago coming in with new pieces. Obviously, they're not only up to expectations, but I figure Minnesota would have a fighting chance at like a 10-7, maybe an 11-6. I think they'll easily get to 11-6 now.
Yeah, I do as well. And then you think about what your expectations are every year for the Dallas Cowboys, and for you know, amnesia patients, they think it's to win the Super Bowl, and then they get to the playoffs, and then Dak and Mike McCarthy fall apart like they do all the time. And so I would rather take somebody that I don't know a lot about than somebody who has a track record that isn't very good. And so that's why I would lean towards Sam Darnold. It's not necessarily something against Dak, if you will. I guess it is because his postseason experience just stinks. But it is because I don't really know much about Sam Darnold. I love the way that he's playing right now. I just think Dak is overpaid. I think Dak is overhyped. And I think Dak is underdelivered in his career. And when you are the Dallas Cowboys quarterback expectations and results are just different than everywhere else. Like, if Dak was doing this and he was playing for Miami or Tampa or Arizona or, you know, someplace that doesn't have expectations like Denver, I think we'd be, okay, Dak is doing a really nice job. But when you play for the Dallas Cowboys, the expectation every year, but whether it be a false expectation or not, is to win the Super Bowl. And Dak has not only even been to a Super Bowl, he hasn't won many postseason games. And so that's why I would go with Sam Darnold in this situation. I'm interested to see what he's going to do for the rest of the year.
A lot of people on the text line, Dak is not the answer. In Dallas, he won't even get the Cowboys to the playoffs. So many people assume that they were calling Dak Prescott bad. Why can't people acknowledge that D'Arnold is good? That's just probably voice text.
Yeah.
I think that's just like the NFL, right? Like, people say Patrick Mahomes having a down year. According to who? Patrick Mahomes in the past or just to the rest of the NFL? Because if Sam Darnold's having a very great year, MVP style year, Mahomes has more passing yards than Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
And he's only got three less touchdowns thrown than Sam Darnold. So, I mean, it's like, that's where the NFL is. Plus, it's a huge, huge, what have you done for me now? Or what have you done for me lately? What have you not done for me longevity?
Right.
I mean, look.
But Sam Darnold's expectations are based off seeing ghosts. Patrick Mahomes' expectations are based off 50 and 5,000.
Yeah. I mean, like, his B year is someone's career year.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Is the best way to put that. And Dallas will be in action tonight. They're in the Meadowlands. Do they still call it that?
They do.
Okay. They're in the Meadowlands tonight. Daniel Jones, Dak Prescott. Kind of crazy how both quarterbacks will be looked at. Very microscopically, but we'll both be on different sort of zooms because Dak Prescott is your team's 1-2. You just got absolutely housed by Baltimore. It ended up being close, but let's be real.
Right.
You're 1-2. You just got paid. Baltimore, the Giants, you're 1-2, but maybe there's this connection that can save the franchise for a little bit of hope. I'm not saying it can go very far, but Malik Nabers could be him. Daniel Jones could have some sort of saving grace. So we'll see that. And then Minnesota this week, who do they play? Let's scroll. They play, come on, Dusty, do better. They play Green Bay.
Green Bay, Minnesota. That's a noon game. We talked about it yesterday.
So yeah, both
neither of us can remember.
Both quarterbacks have rivalry games this week. Both quarterbacks will be looked at. From my perspective, is Sam Darnold and Dak Prescott as well. So.
A big moment for Sam Darnold going against Green Bay. They played well.
But Green Bay.
Who are you taking tonight? Because Daniel Jones is 0-5 on Thursday nights, and Dallas has won 13 of the last 14 against the Giants. Are you taking Dallas tonight? Dallas straight up. See, I see numbers like that, I'm like, Giants win the game.
I'm taking Dallas on the money line. I'm not laying 6 points.
You're not laying six points.
If I was laying the points, I'd take Giants plus six.
Okay.
Pop Fesco, Dusty Likens, and James with you today here on Fesco and Dusty, or Dusty and Fesco. Coming up on the other side, we dive back into your boys in blue who have your hopes and your spirits much, much more live than they did on Monday morning. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.